This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, or printed copies of the sermon will follow the program. Thank you for tuning in today, and please join us for worship every Sunday on this station.
How much can we know about our heavenly home? We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that while we are here on this earth, we have your Son as our Savior who walks with us, who has promised to comfort and help us in all times of difficulty. But we realize that here we have no lasting city, and while we wait for the city that is yet to come, we ponder what will meet us there. So today, as we discuss that whole matter of the resurrected body, your Spirit will guide us into certain truths that will help us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dearest Jesus, draw thou near me. Let thy Spirit dwell with mine. Open now my ear to hear thee. Take my
friends in Christ. When the media confronts us with life's perplexing questions, we often try to put them on the shelf and say, why bother our heads about these problems? Somebody smarter than we are going to have to find the answers for them. When the Bible confronts us with these same types of problems, we are tempted to say, well, there's so much in the Christian faith that is so practical and pertains so much to my salvation, that why should I bother my head with questions that we do not have clear answers to? And so we try to put them on the shelf. It is interesting in his word that our Lord Jesus Christ whets our appetites on a subject that we don't know everything that can be said about it. For example, I refer today to what is the body going to be like when we enter the kingdom of heaven? What will our resurrected body be like? Now, I'd like to read you a few verses from that 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians that we've been talking about the last two or three weeks. And I begin with verse 42 today. So if you have your Bibles with you, you might want to open them up. For these are precious verses that give us some insight. Here the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body." Interesting verses, but first let's go back to the resurrected body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And before we do this, I'd like to read a quote from a great commentator of the Scriptures. His name is William Barclay. Barclay writes, "Before we begin to try to understand this section in 1 Corinthians, we will do well to remember what Paul is talking about. He is talking about things that pertain to the world of faith and not to the world of known facts. He is trying to express the inexpressible and to describe the indescribable, and he is doing the best he can with human words that are all he has to work with." So we have to remember, when we say that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, that is a fact. It is simply said, he died. How it all happened, we do not know that that causes us to have the forgiveness of our sins, but it is a biblical fact. Now, when you begin to talk about a spiritual body, that's a little more difficult to understand because the body is not described in too much detail in the New Testament. But take a look at our Lord Jesus Christ. It is Easter Sunday evening. And some of the disciples are in an upper room. They are behind locked doors. They're afraid what these Jews might do, they may come and kill them too. And so there they were comforting one another. When all of a sudden, standing in their midst, is none other than Jesus Christ himself, the Savior and Lord. And as he talks to them, he extends his hands and he says, "Look, there are the nail-pierced hands." And then he pulls aside his robe and he shows him the side. And he says, "This is the side where the sword pierced through when I was hanging on the cross." And as he visited with him, and we do not know how long he was there, he finally leaves. He had come in through closed doors. Strange, not through an open door like ordinarily he did, but this was miraculous. Now, there was one of the disciples, at least, who was not there. His name was Thomas. I'm sure that he was having trouble himself, and he did not know what to do, so he had gone out for an evening walk. And when he came back to that room, these disciples said to him, "Oh, Thomas, you really missed it. You went at a wrong time. While you were away, the Lord Jesus appeared. And he showed us his hands. And he showed us his side." And then Thomas said to him, "Unless I can be able to put my fingers into his nail-pierced holes, and if I can only put my hand in his side, until then, I will not believe." Well, the week went on, and I'm sure they did a lot of talking to Thomas, but they didn't get very far. And then finally, it was on the next Sunday evening that Thomas was there with them. And who appeared? Behind closed doors? Locked? None other than Jesus himself. Now, just let your mind go. He walks over to Thomas, and he says, "Here's a hand. Put your fingers in those holes." And Thomas says, "Oh, my Lord, my God, no, I understand. No, Thomas, you said you wouldn't believe unless you actually had this experience here." And so Thomas had to put his fingers into those holes. And then Jesus said, "We're not done, Thomas." And he withdrew his robe and he said, "Put your fist in here." What a horrible position that must have been for Thomas, to actually have to do that. And then he said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "You believe because you have seen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Now that is one picture of the resurrected body of our Lord Jesus Christ from Holy Writ. Let me give you one more. These are familiar stories. You know them as well as I do. But you recall that sometime later on, the two of the disciples were walking to Emmaus. That's a little town not too far away from Jerusalem. And as they're walking along, talking, and the discussion, of course, is around the resurrection of Jesus and what is going to happen with them from now on through, a stranger meets them and asks, "May I walk along with you?" And they said, "We'd love to have you." "What are you talking about?" he says. "Well, are you a stranger here in Jerusalem and you have not heard that our Master, our Lord, our great teacher by the name of Jesus has been raised from the dead? At least they say he has, and we have seen him, but it's all so peculiar to us." And then this stranger said to them, "What did the prophet say about him? What did he teach you while he was here?" And they went on and quoted. And then he began to interpret all these prophecies and how they had been fulfilled right to the minutest degree. And then they got to the town of Emmaus, and they could see that he was going on. So they said to him, "Why don't you come in and spend the night with us?" And Jesus accepts their invitation. So they get inside the house, and pretty soon it's time to eat. And they prepare the meal, and they're sitting down. And all the time, there is a peculiar feeling. This man knows a lot. Who is he? When Jesus takes the bread and breaks it and gives it to them, the lights come on, and they see, this is Jesus. And then he's gone. And when they hurried back to Jerusalem to tell the brethren there what had happened, this is what they said. "Were not our hearts burning when he talked to us?" Were not our hearts burning when he talked to us? Don't you have that burning in your heart sometimes when he talks to you? And puts his finger right on one of your sins and say, "Why?" But don't you also have burning hearts when he says, "I forgive you. I forgive you. That's why I came." Now, what can we learn about the body of Jesus? And can we gain anything from these portions of Scripture regarding the resurrected body? I believe there is at least one or two points that we could bring out here. Jesus' resurrected body was different in appearance, though he was the same person. Let me say that again. Smarter people than I have thought this through. I'm quoting some of the great theologians on this. His appearance was different, but his person was the same. Here's another one that you can take a look at. He talks as though they could get the understanding that his mission on this earth was over. Perhaps that's what he meant when he said on the cross, "It is finished." I would take the perhaps out right away and say that's what he did mean. It is finished. I have atoned for the sins of the world, taking them all on me. Nothing else has to be done. That's over. But then he goes on Ascension Day, and says, I go to my Father. I sit on the right hand of the Father, and there I will be the mediator of all of those who believe in him when they enter the heavenly habitations. But I say to you, who are my followers, who are my believers, who are my disciples, your mission now begins. Tell the story of the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of the risen Lord, for therein you too can have a resurrected body. Let's take a look at these passages that I read for you. It is said that when we die, the body is sown perishable. But when we rise someday, it will be imperishable. Now, I've never read anybody who has a final word on this. But we certainly understand what it means when we say the body is perishable. And if we have any doubt about that, maybe you ought to go to a high school reunion or to a college reunion. I went to my 50th high school reunion, and I tell you, there were some of those people I didn't know, and they didn't know me. But when they pointed out a lady who was a rather attractive lady, I said, she looks like somebody in the class, but who was she? She was a beauty queen. Now, she was still an attractive woman, but not nearly as attractive as she was at the age of 18. A little extra weight, few pounds, gray hairs, makes a change in appearance. But when I sat and visited with her, she was the same person. I think that perhaps has something to do with it is sown perishable. It is raised imperishable. The human body deteriorates. The other day I was having an MRI, and as we walked to the machine, the technician asked me, what's wrong with you? And I said, well, technically, that's why I'm here to find out. But if you want my own opinion, just this, the old knees are wearing out. They got too many miles on them. 85 years of miles on them. That's worse than 125,000 miles on your car. Wears out. But while it is sown perishable, it is raised imperishable. That is, we will not die. And next week I want to talk more about that. We will not die, people. Can you imagine it? I can't fathom it. He goes on and he says, it is sown in dishonor. It is raised a glorified body. And now we have not always lived God-pleasing lives, have we? I wonder if we really get through one day by living a God-pleasing life. Take those who were the closest to Jesus, Peter. Right when Jesus needed him the most, what did Peter do? He denied him. That's what it means. It is sown in dishonor. What about Paul? Paul was a man who did so much for the Lord Jesus Christ, but Paul was the one who threw stones to help kill those early Christians. In other words, we are Christian people. We are sinners, but we are forgiven sinners. And we cannot always present ourselves as so righteous. But just think of it. When we are resurrected, we will have a sinless body. There's another characteristic. We're imperishable. We're not going to die. We are sinless. We are always going to be obedient. The third thing is it is sown in weakness, but it is raised with power. You know, physically, emotionally, intellectually, and spiritually, our weaknesses are very apparent. We cannot hide them for long. That's what the newlyweds understand. I can imagine that in most cases, after the first few months, somebody would say, the wife would say, did I really marry him? And he could be saying the same thing. We can hide a lot of our inconsistencies, a lot of our actions and thoughts and mannerisms that are not pleasing. That is the weakness that we have within us. But then we will be raised in power. And we will be the same person 24 hours a day with no sins, realizing that we're going to live forever. I can't fathom it. But that's a resurrected body. And then the last one that he talks about is that it is sown a natural body and it is raised a spiritual body. Even God himself is limited in what he can do for us while we're in the flesh. Because when he created us with a will. And that will says sometimes, get out of my life, God. And the Holy Spirit goes no further than that. But when you and I are resurrected, all of the power of the Holy Spirit is poured into that spiritual body. And there we are. We are not disembodied spirits floating through air. We have a body. We have a body that is imperishable, that is sinless, that has strength, and that is filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, after we've said all of that, it's still not very clear, is it? And so we say with the Apostle Paul, now I know in part, but someday I'll understand. But you know, when you were a kid, you said, I have a dream. When I get older, when I get old, then I'm going to be a fireman, or I'm going to be an athlete, or I'm going to be a movie star, or whatever it may be. We have those dreams. I think that the Lord wants us to keep dreaming. What are we going to be like? Oh, it will be a surprise. But while we're on the way, just remember this. God will give us a resurrected body. Like one of my friends said to me when telling me that his wife had died, he put it so nicely. She graduated to heaven with a resurrected body. Amen.
I was there to hear your morning cry. I'll be there when you are old. I rejoice. When you heard the wonder
Shall we pray together? Lord Jesus, you really know how to tease us. You know how to whet our appetites. So grant that as we see this old body filled with sin, deteriorating, and not what we really want it to be, that it is your word that has told us one day it'll be different. And while we do not know what it's going to be like exactly, we know that we're not floating around as spirits disembodied, but you have given us a new body. And there together we shall live in those heavenly thrones forever and forever. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
You have been worshiping today with Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray that today's sermon will be a source of fresh hope for the coming week. Are you searching for a meaningful Mother's Day gift for a special woman in your life? Christian Crusaders is now offering a limited edition gift set of sermons specially for mothers. This set of 5 audio CDs comes attractively packaged and is available for a suggested donation of just $10. Please call us to order at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You can also order on our website at christiancrusaders.org. For your convenience, we now accept credit card donations over the phone and on our website. You can even sign up to have your donation automatically deducted every month. To learn more about these quick, secure, and convenient ways to support our ministry, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. Christian Crusaders thanks those who have supported our ministry through their gifts and prayers. To request a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's sermon, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's sermon was our speaker, the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 73rd year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.